everyday witches emerge from the shadows of secrecy. Broom closets are flinging open and witches are taking flight. Whether you are hiding in your cozy closet or flying with pride, stay for a spell as Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon and her guests share magical moments, stir the cauldron, and debunk misinformation and misconceptions about paganism, witches, and our wonderful world of magic.
Hey there, everyone. I have a special guest, and her name is Catherine Bird. She's an energetic medicine practitioner. Hello, Catherine. What does an energetic medicine practitioner do exactly?
Basically, we work within the realms of energy. And so your clients might relate this to some people are trained in different modalities as far as Reiki is super common. So a lot of people are Reiki practitioners, and that's working with energetic medicine. I am trained in Reiki, but I'm also trained in Chinese energetic medicine. So working within medical Qigong. And then I've been doing shamanic and spirit focused work for many years. And so I really lean toward energetics, somatic, the physical body, and the spiritual as we heal. It's a holistic path as far as I'm concerned, right? We have to look at everything. We have to look at all parts of ourselves as we go through our healing process, from our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs to how we are functioning energetically.
You actually mentor and train healers, coaches, and therapeutic and spiritual practitioners, don't you?
Yeah, that's the majority of my work. I still see some people that don't maybe fall into that category, but for the most part, this has been my focus of my work, and my purpose has been, how do we awaken and heal and stabilize the magic people, the people who are drawn to these realms, so that they can go out and live their purpose and do what they're here to do, and to feel confident and to be empowered in owning their own personal unique medicine that they are.
Who are the people who are most likely to seek this training from you?
People have this awareness inside. They have this knowingness of who they are, and they get these glimpses of it. And maybe they've been interested in different kinds of healing and in sort of looking towards the alternative modalities, going towards yoga or massage or therapy, and looking at how do we heal. People want to lean into the edge of that, of the parts of themselves where there are things that are happening that they're like, I can't quite explain that. Or I don't know how I know that, but I just know these things. Or when I'm working with somebody, there is this awareness that there's something more than me at play. And then sometimes people come and work with me because they're having kind of intense experiences, whether that's energetically, like a lot is going on for them, maybe when they start to do energy practices or meditate, or there's spirit stuff happening. So maybe they go to medicine ceremony and circle, or they're just living their lives and they're realizing that there's a lot of spirit activity around them and they want to understand it and be able to work with it.
That sounds like a big job you have.
It's a great job. I feel it's the only job for me. And that's what I really love helping people tap into, is that feeling that what you're doing is exactly where you belong and that you get to live a life where you feel, yes, this is me. This is authentically me. This is what I love. This is what I care about. This is, I have a mission and I have a purpose and I have meaning and I'm a powerful contribution. And to help people find that within themselves and to feel like they can do that, both in the realms of energy and spirit and working on yourself so that you are stable and have healed yourself enough to be able to do this work with people, but then also in the realm of, oh, this is now some kind of business. This is now some kind of, I have to get clients and all the things that come up for people when they're trying to put themselves out there as their most authentic self. Because there's this interesting thing that happens where you do all this work to uncover yourself. And then you realize that, oh, in order to do this, I have to show myself in this vulnerable space out in the world. And I think that's one of the more challenging aspects of this whole process that we're going through as we, you know, a lot of people might say like living authentically or being in your purpose. You know, people think, oh, I'll find my purpose and then everything will fall into place. And usually when you find your purpose, then you kind of freak out.
Are you talking about what some people refer to as the spiritual closet or the broom closet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very real. It's very significant. It's intense. It's intense stepping your toe out there and putting yourself in that space. It's so vulnerable. You know, I know for myself that I had this very radical, intense awakening where I was like 0 to 60. And all of the sudden, it seemed that I was having very intense energetic and spiritual experiences. I was sort of coming online all of the sudden. And it took me a few years to really stabilize that, where I could understand it and control it and manage it. And then it took more years where I was going through the process of training with teachers and mentors and so on, but I was staying kind of small. Like I was doing healing work, but I wasn't being honest about the kind of healing work that I was doing. And it took so much for me to really come out of that closet. Like I had to be pushed out. Like I had a clutch of spirits and it was just pushing me out of that closet. And it took a lot. It was so scary. You know, I didn't want people to see what I saw as really troubling, right? Where I, you know, I do incorporation of spirits and I do a lot of singing and sounds and tongues and, you know, all of these things that look really weird. And I so judged myself for that. It just took so much for me to come out and say, this is actually the work that I'm doing. And I'm not going to hide anymore.
What was the worst thing that happened to you after you came out?
Nothing. Oh my gosh, how much did I build it up in my mind? I was like, I am, you know, it was so much. I'll tell you the sort of a snippet of a little story, which is so weird. I had been told for years, you're supposed to channel in front of groups of people. And I get a lot of people like this, where they have their own personal spiritual practice that they're doing at home in front of their altar. And they sort of get these messages like, you're supposed to do this work. You're supposed to be a healer. You're supposed to like help people. But the resistance is so great. And I had been getting this message for years. And I went to a festival. And I was at this festival in the forest and I was watching this music and I was like, oh, this is where I want to be. And I got this message. No, you need to go over here to this specific place and go there. I was like, oh, okay. So I went over there and I walked into this space and the people were like holding hands. They were like, oh, we're going to do this ceremony. You know, people at festivals, if you've been to a festival, they're like, oh, we're going to like get our heart all jazzed up and we're going to send that out to the world and help people. And I was like tired. I was, you know, at the end of the festival, I'm like, oh, we've been doing this all weekend, you know. And holding hands at that point, this was one of the things that became really hard for me, where I would not go to events. I wouldn't go to classes where if I knew I had to hold hands with people, it was too intense. I would feel too much. So they were having us hold hands and it just kept going on and on. And eventually I was like, I started to, you know, I was having all this internal experience and I just kind of burst out like, this is really uncomfortable. And if we don't get this on the show, on this show on the road, I'm going to, you know, do something pretty witchy here. Something's going to happen. And I had all these people look at me and say, oh, that's what we're here for. And it was the strangest thing because it was as if that was what they were there for. And so I stepped into the circle and I let myself channel in front of these people. If you've been in this experience before, for listeners, you know, oftentimes when we're doing these things and when we're kind of led into this strange spirit-led intuitive healing work, there is the part that's completely surrendered and present into the knowingness that this is the right thing to do. And there's the part in the back of the head that says, what are you doing? Are you crazy? What is wrong with you? Stop it now.
I think we've all had those experiences.
Right? And you have this battle going on inside. And so, you know, eventually I was like, oh, this is taking up too much space, right? Is often another thing that we think, right? I'm taking up too much space. I'm being too much. I'm being too big. And so I stopped, but I had my eyes closed. And for just a moment, I had this huge fear that something, you know, these people were going to see me. They had seen me. They had seen this thing that I had worked so hard for no one to see. And I had my eyes closed and I just was like, oh gosh, this is the worst thing ever. Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm so embarrassed. And I've done such a bad thing, is what I was thinking. I opened my eyes and I looked around and everybody was smiling. I just burst into tears because for the first time had really, you know, I had let people who were close to me see it. And I had let some clients see it, right? But to have complete strangers in such a public open space see this thing, I couldn't believe it was like so much relief just washed through me. And that was a huge turning point in my life where from that moment, I made this commitment. I was like, this is my commitment. I am committed, committed, committed. I will do this work. I promise. I am. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue and I'm going to come out. And I did. I started talking about it on social media and I started talking to my clients and I started saying, I'm not doing this kind of work anymore. And if you want a referral to somebody else, that's great. But I am doing this kind of work. And if you want to keep coming, great. And the next huge surprise was I had clients who had been coming. I had been doing like physical structural body work and that kind of healing work, helping people with pain. And they were like, yeah, I want to keep coming. And then there were more people and more clients. And it was almost as though the more that I accepted and took up the path, the more the path rose up to meet me and support me. And all that resistance and the fear and the like struggle inside was taking up so much of my energy and my life force. And once I stopped that, everything started to flow for me in a different direction and fall into place.
Would you say that was really the beginning of your path?
It was the beginning of the outward stating of the path. Like I had been on the path for years. I had been training and studying and doing practices and learning things and I was hiding. I would do the things, you know, I would sing to people's bodies and I would pull things out of them and I would give them messages. But I never told them that was part of the deal before they came. You know, I would just sort of like throw it in. Oh, I might, you know, sound like an old Russian lady or sing a song to you. And it's just part of the deal. And I would downplay everything. And I would pretend like it wasn't what it was. You know, in some ways, I think it was good because I spent a long time studying and learning before I put myself out there. But also, it was a completely different experience between, okay, I'm here in my own path, in my own, like, my path. It was sort of like, I'm here walking alone on my path. And then all of a sudden, I was now on a road full of people all walking together.
Have you been wanting to ride your broom like you stole it, rather than hiding in the shadows? Theodora Pendragon is here to help your magic shine, whether you want to show the world your subtle sparkle or you really want to light your fire. Visit Theodora's online store at witchcasting.shop. That's witchcasting.shop. Remember, there's never been a better time to be a witch.
What do you see as the challenges that people have as they open their channel? You've had this experience yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many challenges, really. And it can depend on the person, of course, right? So there tend to be a few different ways that people sort of come to this, where there are a lot of people who've had a lot of issues from their childhood where they've been really shut down. So they've had parents or school people or family members or whatever say, don't do that. Don't say that. You didn't see that. Stop it. You know, that's crazy. You're crazy. Or maybe they've experienced a lot of religious programming that's told them that all of this stuff is bad and evil, and you're gonna, you know, here's all the repercussions. You're going to be cast out of this community. You're going to be unloved and, you know, the fiery pit of hell and all of that, which is super intense to put on a tiny child who's just experiencing the world. So those things can really shut people down where they had a lot of natural inclination and then they repressed it. And then it starts to come out. And so that can feel really overwhelming because it brings up all of the trauma and the beliefs and the feelings, the fear from childhood. So then there is oftentimes, concurrently with the experiences that are happening, the healing work that needs to be done over what you experienced as a child. Then there's other people who maybe didn't have such a bad experience as a kid, but maybe just didn't, it just wasn't on their radar so much. They were like, well, this has sort of been a part of my life a little bit, or maybe it wasn't so intense, but all of a sudden, maybe it starts to kind of wake up. And this can especially happen when people start getting into things like energy practices or, you know, going to medicine ceremony, and all of a sudden they experience reality in a really different way and their psychic centers kind of really open. Then they have to deal with the fact of like, well, do I believe in this? Is this real? Everybody asks that. Like, is this real? Am I making it up? Is this all in my head? And all of that questioning and doubt that comes up for people. And the doubt can be so intense that, you know, fear, doubt, comparison. These are really like really huge ones that come up for people. The fear that you're going to be othered, the fear that you're going to be in danger. And then there's doubt. Am I crazy? Am I making this up? Is this real? Could this be real? If this is real, what does it mean about me? then the comparison of, well, when I look at other people, like I watch a YouTube video of, you know, Bashar or, you know, somebody who does channeling work, and that's not how I experience it, or that's not what it looks like when I do it, or a lot of people don't get really clear images, but they are in the assumption that you should get really clear images and have like visions. Only we think visions are like, well, someone says, I see this. So we take that to mean that they're seeing something that is like a picture on a wall, or, you know, like something that's, you know, very solid in the 3D realm that we can look at and go, oh, that's a chest or drawer. And that's how psychic vision is. When a lot of times it's more like an awareness of a perception of an understanding of something that is that. And so there's all of this translation piece that goes along with this that can be really a struggle for people, because there are more people who know and feel than anything else. And knowing and feeling is the hardest one, because you have to trust it so much more than, oh, I saw a picture of a dog, so it must be, the answer is dog. But they're like, I have a feeling dog. And then you're like, can I trust the feeling? Can I trust that I just know something? And that can be so hard for people, because we've been very conditioned and trained since we were tiny children to not trust ourselves. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust what you know. Don't trust your body, which the body gives so much information when we're connecting through these realms.
The people you train, is this how you help them understand what they're feeling, seeing, sensing, knowing?
Yeah. You know, I'm really fascinated with the reality, right, that each one of us is so different, that we're all so unique, and that we receive information so differently. Like I have a channeling course that I teach, and then I have a year-long program after that where we work with beings, and I have other people who are in apprenticeship, which are like years two plus. I've been doing that particular program for, this is my eighth year, and still it is always fascinating to me how different people are and what they receive. And that when you go into, you know, channel space together, or you're connecting and you're starting to kind of unpack what your experiences are, that people have such a myriad of experiences, and the way that they receive is so different. And somebody might get an image, somebody might get a color, somebody might get a sensation, somebody might get an awareness, somebody might hear something, somebody might need to speak it before they get something. This is very true for me. I'll need to start talking, right? I'll need to start speaking something, and then I'll start getting some images, because the images are sort of the clarification of the information. And then when I see the image, then I'm like, oh, and it's like this. It's like this image. And then that gives more information, and then more words can come through. But for a lot of people, if they're sitting home alone and they're just sitting in front of their altar and they're just like trying to get information, it doesn't come through because there's no one there to receive it. And it's challenging to understand, what's the next thing? Well, I kind of get these colors when I sit, but I don't know what they mean. I always am just like, okay, well, let's figure it out for you, right? Let's figure out how it works for you and expand on what you're good at, what's coming naturally, what's easeful. And let's lean into what you haven't maybe tried yet or practiced, and just expand the capacity, expand the ability that you have, and for each one to be on their own journey of that expansive process.
You mentioned that you have a channeling course. Do you have any courses coming up soon?
I have Open Your Channel in April, which is my main channeling course, which takes people through opening, stabilizing, and mastering their channel. And this course is great because it really gives a lot of context so that people can stop being afraid of things. I never teach a fear-based orientation around working with spirits. People are always, it's one of the things, the fear, right? Oh my gosh, what if I come across something that's, nasty, right? What if I come across something bad or evil? How I work with that is, yes, these things exist. First of all, most people actually don't even come across those things that much. It's actually a lot more rare than people think. And then it can also be quite a misinterpretation where you're just sensing something, but it's not necessarily something harmful. It's just you're sensing something that's foreign to you. And then I also really focus in all my coursework on personal energy practices and grounding and stabilizing yourself and working your own energy body so that you have this radiance that you're able to project, and you have the fortitude and the boundaries of your own system that support you in calling in what is good for you and not having a lot of interaction with what is negative or bad, and sort of increasing your own curiosity about those things and what those things even mean. Yeah, so that's the next thing that happens. And then, as I said, I run a year-long program where we focus on working with different energies and beings every month, because that's the other thing, is that sometimes people are like, well, I'm okay with an angel. I'm okay with maybe an animal spirit, but I really don't want to deal with... There's always some beings that people don't want to deal with, right? Usually the deceased, and usually galactics, people are like, aliens, no way. And then I've often found an interesting thing, that people tend to not want to work with and avoid the beings that they actually have a lot of ease of working with.
Why is that?
I think that maybe there's just something that happened that scared them at some point, and they may or may not even remember it happening. So they'll just have this internal I don't want to deal with dead people, right? I don't want to deal with dead people. And then when they just kind of relax around it a little bit and do some practice with it, they're like, oh, they actually have always been around. I've been working really hard to block them out, but now I have these tools and I have kind of strategy around how to work with them in a way that is helpful for them and helpful for me. And it's actually, I love it.
How do you nourish connections with the unseen realms?
Well, we have to consider that these are relationships. I think that's the main thing, is that the unseen is everywhere all the time. And so we have the opportunity every single day to be in relationship with the unseen. And so even if you don't feel like, oh, I'm so psychic, or I'm, working with spirits, there's still this opportunity to be in respectful, reciprocal, nourishing relationship. And so by having an altar and making offerings, connecting and offering gratitude, number one, first and foremost, having an altar where you make offerings, maybe even daily, and you place things and maybe place things outside, and you start to just talk. You're just having a conversation. You light incense, you light candles, and depending on who you're working with, you can just keep expanding out. Oh, I'm really drawn to this subset of beings. So I'm going to just be really simple and say hello, be kind, be respectful. Hi, I am, right? You tell them who you are, tell them what you're about, you know, like who you are, and introduce yourself. And you may or may not receive an answer back, but as you continue to do those things, you build a relationship. Every single day, I make offerings, I light incense, I light candles, I pour water onto the altar. I thank the spirits of the land here where I live. I'm so grateful to live here. I thank the spirits of my home. I have this a lovely home here that feels so good. And I thank them every day for all the benefit that they bring to my life. I thank my ancestors. I have a special altar for them. I thank my guides and my teachers and anyone that I'm specifically working with. I ask for help. I offer blessings. May you be blessed. May you receive everything that you need. We're in this dialogue. And I think one of the things that that does is that it opens up your heart. It gives you access to this gratitude and appreciation for everything that there is, for the earth and all of the blessings, and for the ancestors and all of their blessings, and for your life in such a deep way that even if you never hear a peep from a spirit, even if nothing ever happens, it doesn't matter because it's transformed you inside.
What are the benefits of learning how to work with spirits in a healing practice or when healing yourself?
There's a lot of benefits, actually. And so when we're in a, just maybe for ourselves, like we're in a hard time, we're struggling with something, we're trying to move through something, you know, some dark moment in our lives. And in these times, we often feel very alone, like, I'm alone. There's no one to help me. No one cares. Maybe it would be great if I, you know, could go to a healer, but I don't have the money for that, or I don't know where to go. And so within the context of being your own healer, of going into your own pain, of using your practices, using movement and breath and sound to move your body and go into yourself and feel what you're feeling, like really being present with what you're feeling. And sometimes when you're doing that, it's overwhelming. It feels like too much because your nervous system is not okay with what you're experiencing, right? You're feeling too much. And so to be able to reach out to your spiritual team, to your guides, because they are there, to angels and helpful, beneficial beings and energies that are there, that are waiting for you to say, please help me. Help me move through this with more grace and ease. Help me to process this and understand myself better, right? So we can get within this, while we're having this dialogue with what is outside of us, we're also having this dialogue with the inside of us. So we're starting to see like, oh, help me process this with more grace and ease. Help me move through this in a way that allows me to understand myself more deeply and to evolve, to become a better person, to be of service to others, to understand my purpose, like all of those things. And we're creating this place where we start to have this feedback, where we're, you know, in some way asking and receiving, because that's how energy moves, right? You've got to move it out and then bring it in, and move it out and bring it in, and move it out and bring it in. And you're clearing things and you're welcoming things in. And so as you're working, then you can welcome in beautiful energy and light, and you're welcoming in the blessings of the spirit realms, the blessings of your guides and teachers. They want to bless you. They want to care for you. They want to show up for you. So for your personal healing, you can move through a lot. And then there are specific spirits that can come and help you to release things and remove things from your system and to move them out of the space so that they're not cluttering up the space, right? To move the toxic energy out and to clear things that are, you know, deeper than you might be able to go for yourself. And so that is inclusive when you start, you're working on people and maybe you're doing energy work or you're doing some kind of healing work. When you have your spirit team with you, you can travel to other realms more safely so that you can do things like soul retrieval work. You can extract energies and even, you know, entity beings with greater safety. And you can receive more information. So you can get a lot more information when you're working with people, when you have this team, and you can be safer, more protected, more resourced in your work. So it can really benefit if you feel like you're a healer, because a lot of times it's happening anyway. They're there, you know, and you can feel, oh, the room is kind of full of energy, right? And yeah, they're there watching. They're there waiting. They're there paying attention. And so we're just, you know, as the channel, we are just kind of pushing the electrical conduits together so that the energy can move through the system. So we're just being that conduit for the information, for healing, for light to move through the space. And we're just allowing it to move through. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's mediumship, right? And we're the medium, just like the medium of the tools that create art. We are the medium by which healing moves through.
You mentioned gratitude and how important that is. Can you tell us why we need to be grateful and to express it?
One of my teachers says that gratitude is the spiritual key. It's the key that unlocks all the doors. It's the key that opens everything. And I have come to really agree with that. And I think that you know, when we're kind of starting off on this path, a lot of times we come to this path because we have a lot of pain and we're confused and we're like, oh gosh, And we maybe start a gratitude practice. Maybe somebody says, hey, like this would be a good therapeutic process for you because you're struggling. And so we sit down with our notebook and we start, you know, writing things down. And sometimes it's a struggle for people to come up with three things they're grateful for. Eventually, over time, it becomes so a part of who you are that it just is. Like your gratitude is constantly evolving and it is opening the heart constantly. So gratitude taps you into your heart field, and the heart field is the strongest field. So it is this huge electromagnetic field that's moving energy through your body right this moment. So wherever your heart is, your entire system is. Your auric field, your energy body, your physical health and well-being is all really tied into where your heart is right now. And gratitude helps the heart to shed some of the pain that it's experiencing, and it helps it to like lighten itself so that it is then cycling through the system more beneficial and positive energy, which over time it's exponential. Gratitude is like, is fundamental, foundational for most spiritual practices. And when you listen to people pray, you know, especially when you look at like indigenous people and prayers, there is so much gratitude. There's so much thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so a lot of the prayers, there's a beautiful little book of Thanksgiving that's all indigenous prayers. And all of in these prayers, these prayers were said like at the beginning and end of the meetings of the people coming together to solve problems. And they're thanking everybody. So you're thanking all of the plants and all of the animals and all of the trees and all of the elements and everything that there is in the mountains and the waters and the fish and all of the beings. We're thanking them, thanking them, thanking them. And it goes on and on and on. And it's so beautiful. And I really want to live my life in that way where I'm always remembering that gratitude field that I get to live in because it transforms me within myself. And, you know, for your listeners, like if you're struggling with the gratitude, I get it. But over time, it's like a muscle in your heart and your heart's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And so for me, I will, one of the things that started doing was really just like singing about it. Like I would just sing, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it's like I repeat thank you, thank you, thank you a lot. And for everything, I'm so grateful for the work that I get to do. And, you know, sometimes I am really like, thank you so much for bringing this challenge into my life because I can see how much that it's helping me grow. You know, thank you for the earth and the abundance and the beauty and everything that I am, everything that I have. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You mentioned offerings. Some people may not understand what an offering is. Can you give us some suggestions?
Sure. So offerings can be simple and easy. So you can have a little spirit plate that when you sit down to have your meal, you take a little tiny bit of every part of your meal and you put it on a little plate. And so basically you're feeding the spirits that reside where you reside. You can make offerings, especially to the ancestors. I always consider, what were your ancestors' main staples of their diet and what were they drinking? So you start to connect to them personally and think, oh, my people were eating oats, or my people were eating corn, or my people were eating rice. And I'm going to offer that as part of my offerings to my ancestors. Oh, they were beer drinkers. They were wine drinkers. So I'm going to make that as part of my offering. Right now, I'm doing work with the planetary beings. And so I'm making offerings of herbs that correspond with them, right? The herbs that are in their realm that are like them. If I'm making offering to this being, what would this being like? And maybe it's little cakes that you make some little cakes and you put the cakes outside your house so you don't get bugs or mice or whatever, but you put the cakes out, you know, and you thank the spirits of the land that you live in. And I think the land spirits and the house spirits, like these are really important for us to acknowledge that they're there long before you and they're going to be there after you. They tend to actually like people. So they're not, you know, they're not wanting you out of there. They're just hanging out and wanting to be in community with you. So, and then generally I have a tree that is a specific tree that then I will maybe make offerings at the altar and then I'll go put those offerings outside so that then, you know, they're going back to the earth and they're, you know, maybe I'll put my altar flowers and take those out there and maybe make other offerings. But there's something about this giving that I think, especially for Western people, we've been disconnected from this. We've been disconnected from even the idea of what does this even mean to give an offering, especially to the spirit realm, to consider that they eat food, they eat the energy of the food, they drink the energy of the water, they love scents. Incense and flowers and things that smell good because that's sort of within their realm. And so they appreciate these things. You're showing appreciation. And as Western people, we are so conditioned to take and extract and want and give me and need, and I want this and I want that, and to consume all the time. We are so conditioned towards extraction and consumption that when we start to transform that and we start to make offerings and give, I think it makes us more giving in every part of our lives, where we're like, oh yeah, I'm giving.
If we're giving, we're more likely to receive. Pay it forward.
It's true. But, you know, because that's how energy moves, right? And that's how it flows. And a lot of us, especially if maybe we've had less sometimes, or I don't know, there's a lot of really stingy people with have a lot of stuff, right? Well, sometimes the people who have the most stuff are the stingiest somehow, right? Because they're so used to give me instead of let me be an offering. And so there's this space of I am an offering to the world. Like, I'm giving offerings, but the truth is my life is an offering. When your life is an offering, then things do come to you. There starts to be this reciprocal energy that comes, you know, not because, like, sometimes people get all of this stuff that's weird about manifesting, where it's almost like you're like trying to game the system or something, where you're trying to like, I'm going to give you this if you give me that. And it's not like that, in as much as I am a part of a natural flow of energy that is constantly exhaling and inhaling. And I know that I'm going to give and I'm going to receive, because that is the way of being that I am embodying as someone who is living within alignment with nature.
You have a book brewing, The Healer's Process. Tell us a little bit about it and when it will be published.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, because yesterday I sent it to the formatter. So I am right at the end, and I've been working on this book for 5 years. And if anybody has written a book, like, I don't understand the people who just like, I have friends and I have clients who've been like, I'm going to write a book. And 6 months later, their book is like out. That's not my experience. But I guess I have a tenacity here that is forcing me to keep going. But I'm so excited. I just sent it to the formatter. So it is done, except for there's a second book, which has already been written, which now I'm going to need to edit. But The Healer's Process is the inner work and the skill development to fulfill your sacred purpose. It goes into all, really, a lot of these things we've been talking about, but a lot of like understanding who you are as a healer, that you are a unique person and a unique medicine flows through you, and that you get to discover that and heal anything that comes up in relationship to that. And so, because usually there are these wounds that we hold, right? The witch wound, right? That we can't do this, that it is, we've had past life experiences, we've had this life experiences that have told us we cannot be this thing. And then moving through, and throughout the book, there's a lot of practices to be able to connect to your energy and build your energy body and to build your field and understand your boundaries and discernment and working within the sacred container of working with different spirits and the directions and the elements and deep cleansing and purification practices for yourself and working with clients and uncovering your unique work and doing things like channeling and mediumship in your work and working with energies and spirits and accepting and loving the weird parts of ourselves and learning how to integrate really deep healing work and to be an ethical practitioner is also a big part of it. You know, how do we do this work that can be weird, can be different, can be, okay, I'm taking people into really deep places in their psyche, in their energy, in, you know, trauma, into all of these things that come up whenever you're working in healing work. How do you do this in an ethical, aligned way as a practitioner and really help people and not hurt people? Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are just not, I don't think a lot of it is conscious. I think that there's a lot of unconscious stuff where people just don't know any better, that they might like do too much with someone or, you know, blow out their system in some kind of way with this kind of work.
This book sounds so fascinating. When will it be published?
The middle of May is what I'm looking at. So May 15th is my date. So we're going to get beyond this eclipse cycle and into Taurus. So we're going to put it out then.
Tell us about your social media so that the listeners can follow you. And then when the book is released, they'll get notification while they're following you.
Sure. Well, I'm definitely active on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you went to my personal Facebook page, is sort of where I kind of just write things that are coming up and present for me in the moment. And then both of those places, I did just join TikTok, but I haven't been really using it. So I'm going to try to push myself to start using it a little bit more.
I'll put your links in the episode notes, but as far as Instagram and Facebook, what are your handles on those two platforms?
At Catherine Bird is pretty much it. I'm Catherine Bird everywhere. I'm Catherine Bird on the website. I'm Catherine Bird on YouTube. I'm pretty easy to find.
And before we sign off, let's hear about your podcast.
Oh, so I have a podcast. It's called Shaman Sister Sessions. And so I do this with my dear friend, Michelle Hawk. And we have 130 episodes on all the places that you would think to find a podcast and on YouTube. Mostly this is for guiding healers and mystics. So we go into all kinds of things around doing healing work or receiving healing work, shamanic work, alchemy, channeling, working with a practitioner or becoming a practitioner, best practices, all kinds of things that we've been friends for over 10 years and have been working together for a really long time. So it's a really fun podcast.
It sounds fun.
Yeah. We'll have to have you on.
I would love that. I'd love that. Catherine, is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners that they can take away today before we sign off?
It's really important that we understand that there's incredible value that each one of us brings to the world, and that sometimes we feel like we're not doing enough, you know, or we're not doing it right, or we haven't figured it out yet, or we haven't healed all our wounds. There is still a place for you, that you're holding a place. And the beingness that you are is so important. And you don't need to, you know, quit your job immediately and like run off and try to like do this crazy entrepreneurial healer thing because you know that you're a healer. Be a healer. Like, be who you are. Cultivate the beingness of a healing presence and a radiant blessing in the world in every moment, and your life will begin to unfold for you. And follow those little breadcrumbs, the little voice, the tiny little voice that you've been pushing away, the tiny little voice that says, this is who you are, this is what you're going to do, this is what we're here for. That tiny voice that just barely leaves breadcrumbs, and you don't know the whole picture. Do not think you're going to know the whole picture. You know what's happening right now and maybe the next step. That's all you need. Just keep following the next step and the next step and the next step. And life can be this beautiful unfolding that happens for you, and you don't have to know everything that's going to happen. And that's not the point.
I love that. I've had several breadcrumbs that I've ignored. And I don't do that anymore. If I have a little hunch, this door you need to open, I go through that door.
Because when you don't listen, you realize later, oh gosh, I really should have listened.
Yeah, because when you snooze, you lose. So you really have to pay attention to every tiny, tiny, tiny thing.
Yeah. You know, when I was first getting, you know, a lot of channeling early on, one of the things that frustrated me so much was that they kept telling me the same thing over and over and over. And it seemed so simple. And so I was like, why? And they're like, you don't get it. You're not listening. You don't get it. So we're just going to keep saying it. I was like, okay. Even though I might have thought that I didn't get it. It's taken years and years and years for me to go, oh, here I am where they said I would be, but I could never have seen this.
That's some really good advice. Thank you, Catherine, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You're such a lovely guest.
This is so fun.
So that was Catherine Bird, my special guest today, and I have all her links in the episode notes so you can find her on social media and sign up for her classes and read her book.
Oh, I have a free class too there.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the free class.
There's a free 4-part channeling masterclass series. So we go into things like you as a unique channel, accidental channeling and mediumship, and when you don't know that you're a channel, but you really are, the anatomy of a channel. So I go into some of the very specific energetic anatomy of channeling and how you can improve your channeling through specific practices, and channeling and healing work. So there's a lot of stuff in there.
How can we sign up for the masterclass?
It is on, I'll give you the link to put in the notes. And then it's also on my main website, catherinebird.com, or my links through Instagram. So it's pretty easy to find.
And when will you be offering this?
Yeah, it's available right now.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for being my guest.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us for Witchcasting with Theodora Pendragon. Have a burning question or have a topic you'd love Theodora and her guests to discuss on the show? Contact her through Instagram at Theodora Pendragon. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And help us spread the word by leaving us a rating and review and sharing it with your friends. See you next time, and may your magic always shine.